بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the hadith there are comprehensive du'as and there are specific du'as, and both are important. Those that are comprehensive, like رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Again, اللهم إني أسألك من خير ما سألك به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. To the end. So these du'as are comprehensive. They will contain all your needs of this life and the next life. And they are good. And these du'as should be made. But then they are du'as that are specific. And to make this du'a that are specific is also important. The reason is that these du'as that are more specific, they create greater humility, submission and devotion. Right? So you'll find both these du'as in the hadith. So you may see one du'a and give me all the good, right? Then there are specific du'as. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha. See, specific. Then you see Zakariya alayhi salam, and he's making du'a. Habli min ladunka zurriyatan tayyiba. Although that du'a, Rabbana aatina, is comprehensive, it contains all, but he's also asking for specific things. Okay. Again, hasana contains everything. But one of the best du'as to make is al-afiya, to ask for ease. So now that's a specific thing. See. Then you got let's see the specific the du'as that are for occasions. Like now you're traveling. Allahumma antal khalifatu fil ahl. And then inni a'udhu bika min wa'asa'i safar wa ka'abati al-manzar wa su'il munqalab fil ahl wal walad. Right? So if you said Rabbana atina fi dunya, it contained everything. But here now, you are being specific. Also becoming wa'asai safar, the difficulties of the journey. And waka'abatil manzar, and things that are unsightly. Wasu'il munqalab, and then when I return, I see things not like I had seen it before. I see it in a bad state. So now, when you ask for all the good and you ask protection against all evil, all the things were contained in that. But then now the hadith is telling you, ask for specific things as well. So there's two things, the specific things. One is your specific needs. And one is to put on unnecessary conditions. Now unnecessary conditions, that's not desirable. So, making dua for marriage, for example, Allah Baha'u that she must be so fair, and this type of eyes she must have, and the lips and the nose must be like this, right? And she must be like, she must be like Layla, you know? Layla ki kakri, right? Will be like that. So these type of conditions are undesirable. Abdullah bin Mughaffal, radiallahu anhu, he heard his son making dua, إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْقَصْرَ الْأَبْيَدَ فِي يَمِينِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah Ta'ala, I ask you for a white palace on the right side of Jannah. So he cautioned his son, don't make this type of dua. All these conditions attached. Ask for Jannat and ask for the blessings. But now, these type of conditions you are adding, they say, in community you have the mean class, lower class, and one is the upper class. So in India, one person belonged to the mean, the lower class. So he fell, if he fell into a ditch, into a well, fell in. So he's telling the people, you pull me out, but you must use a silken rope, you know. And a silken rope, the rope is obtainable from this shop here. One of the most expensive one, right? And gently you must release it down, right? And make it into a lasso, so then I can tie it around my waist, right? And gently must pull me up, nicely, slowly. Okay. So people are hearing, say, hey, if we only accede to your demands, then may my wife be three divorced. So he was supposed to say, to save me, pull me out of this. And all these extra additional conditions that he's putting into it, you know, a beggar comes and he says, you know, boss, I want some help. Give me breakfast. And the breakfast, you must give me two omelets and see that it's peppered nicely and salted and all that. And then just one cup, one big cup of cappuccino, you know. And see that it's nice and boiling, you know. And together with that, on the side, you must have a nice mango also, you know. And then now it's season. So give me some strawberries, raspberries, and gooseberries. So what the boss will say? Right? Go fly kite, isn't it? So to ask for specific is right. But now to add all these conditions, you could have just said, boss, I didn't eat, man. Please organize something for me, arrange something for me. That was all right. Now he's adding all these conditions here. So therefore, in the muwaffal, he warned his son, just ask Jannat and the blessings, that's all. Now all these additional conditions you are asking, that is not inappropriate. So I heard Nabi Sam saying, يَكُونُ فِي هَذِ الْأُمَّةِ مَنْ يَعْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُبَالِغُ فِي الدُّعَاءِ وَالطَّهُورِ. There will be those in this ummah who will overdo it in two things, in matters pertaining to tahur, taharat, right? They'll overdo it. And that going over the limits in matters of taharat, up to now you'll witness it, you see. So, the slightest doubt, my namaz is not done. We're getting cases coming now, you know. We're getting questions every now and then together. So he's so particular about his wudu. So it takes him, it takes him about 40 minutes to do the wudu. Right? Slight jerk and he feels now the wudu broke. So whereas Hadith didn't ask you to be so particular. Atta tajida rihan aw tasma'a sawtan. You hear some sound or you get some smell. But he didn't ask you to do all these things yet. Right? What it's saying, that until you're not certain, what? It doesn't mean you have to hear the sound. Because say, for example, it's a deaf person who's got a heavy flu. Right? Can you get the smell? See? Or can you get the sound? He won't get the sound and he won't get the smell. So what the Hadith is saying, until you're absolutely certain, then don't be disturbed, right? No. Where the Hadith, the Quran Sharif has given relaxation, there you're going to overdo it. No, I was making ghusl, so washing my private area. So I'm showing the questions that will come, right? And as I was washing the private area, so there must have been some residue of the najis around the private area. So that got washed, and that fell onto my thigh. Now, what must I do now? Who asked you to do all these things? It's wash that area. Don't worry about that water that was used to just carry on. Then I have to write there that this is not an act of piety. Because if it was an act of piety, the Sahaba-i-Kiram would have been the foremost in doing this thing. They didn't take the additional trouble to make sure about these things here. So why are you acting like holier than thou, holier than the Sahaba? Just keep it to that. So in matters like taharat, there's a lot of ease. Right? There's a lot of ease. Right? But in these matters, you get stuck up. Where there's ease, then you get stuck up. But where you're supposed to be careful, then you're not careful. Now, I saw at home now, all type of people coming, mehman coming. So now, they want to wash their feet. So they wash their feet. Then they wash the champal in the rush. With perhaps some najas had gotten into the champal. So wash the champal as well. Now, I was observing all this. All of mehman come here, their connections, whatever. But now, who asked them to do all these type of additional things? Then after they wash that, then they're washing the tap also. Like, see the guys. They think that it's an act of piety. It's not an act of piety. You're overdoing it. I just wash the feet 3 times, enough, you move on. And you're going to do all these things here, and then after some time, you will feel that until I don't do these things here, then my wuzu is not right. So at that time, you think, no, I'm being pretty particular. But with that constancy, you begin to feel that my wuzu and my usal is not correct. And then, like if it's using a public service, like a madrasa, right? Madrasa or an istima. So you're going to take half an hour in the wuzu, 1 hour in the bath. What's going to happen to others? All will be affected. So therefore, there'll be some caution, right? Matters pertaining to taharat, matters pertaining to dua, don't overdo it. Just do moderately and finish. Right? That is why now the ulama-i-kiram say now they've got boreholes, right? So just before this there used to be wells. So now you've got wells, and then a well generally is a uncovered sunken hole, right? A hole is sunken and it's uncovered, no covering, right? So sometimes a cat can fall down, right? A dog can fall, a rat can fall in, right? Right? So a lot of things can happen. Now, if something fell in now, then how much of water must you take on, number one? And how many days namazas must you repeat? So initially they were saying, if it's bloated, right? If it's bloated now, you understand, if it's bloated, then it can't be for 1 day. It can be about 3-5 days. So 5 days, 4 days, namaz must repeat. But one of the leading jurists in the time of Abu Hanifa, at that time, they said, they changed the whole view. He said, no. He saw that a bird was flying, like a hawk or something, carried a rat or something in its mouth. Right? Rat or a cat, right? And as it's flying across, that cat or the rat it had in its beak, the thing fell into the well. He said, no, I have to change the whole thing. The wuzu application will be only from the time that you see it. Because like it's possible that it was there and it got bloated in the well, it's also possible that it was bloated and someone had it in its beak and it dropped right there. So you give the user the benefit and say, just from the time that you've seen this, from that time you will consider that water to be najis, not before that. Otherwise now whole town is using that well. So 10 days namaz, go and repeat the thing. Haraj ho jayega, comes a problem unnecessarily. So in these matters, there's a lot of relaxation. I was in Arafat, you know, in the first Hajj, 79. So, for the wukuf in Arafat, it is also mustoon to make ghusl. Now I'm thinking, you know, Arafat that time was like an open place. I don't know how you can make ghusl. So then I thought to myself, but I saw the students in Deoband, in the open they can have a bath. They just put in like a thick lungi and they'll send it there. In the open they can have a full bath. So what I did, they have this plastic bottles, 1.5 liter. So I took 2 of the 1.5 liter bottles, and you see all these buses are parked, right? So this little bit of a concealed place. So between the buses, comfortably with the 3 liters, I did the whole ghusl. But now you say, no, I need a shower, I need this to get the ghusl done. Right? Qiyamat a jayega, ghusl will be done. You can make a plan. Before I used to be going with the students to India and all that, right? So on the return after 1-2 weeks, one student is telling me, you know, on the plane, I need a faraz ghusl. So, curiosity, I asked him, then what you did? He said, no, I went into the bath and I did the ghusl. See, he went to the bath and in the plane and he did the ghusl and came out. So when you want to do it, you can do it. It's not that you can't do it, you can do it. It's just how to make some adjustments here and there. So one is to be moderate. Sure, but be moderate. Not trespassing, not overdoing it. The other thing is, it's not mentioned, but it's for our convenience, right? India, they're using trains. Here we use planes, right? Or you'll use the public facilities, right? Like you see a ultra shell on the road, right? So now you should take wuzu. So keep in mind 3 things, right? And you read your namaz on the plane and you take wuzu, right? So don't go at a time when there's going to be a whole queue, right? See, now it's relaxed, hardly anybody, so I'm going at that time, one, right? Number 2 is the things that you can do outside the bath, do it outside the bath, like miswak, etc., you can do it, right? Number 3 is, you know, you're doing faraz, everybody knows that you're doing faraz, right? Namaz, right? So, it doesn't exempt you from missing the place. I made your wuzu, the whole thing is flooded now. Water here, water everywhere. So you made your wuzu, and if perchance that place got flooded, etc., take some additional tissues, wipe it out nicely clean, and leave it crispier than you had visited. So the next person, if he's a non-Muslim, he mustn't get the impression that you people are filthy. That you use the place and you messed it and then you came out. He must feel, you know, these people are very respectable people. They've got manners, they understand people's feelings, they are considerate, right? So now, that's like a dawah to Islam. See? When you're doing this, you're keeping this etiquette in mind. Because remember, like you paid the fees, they also pay fees. So, you've got equal rights in all the facilities. It's not that because you're a Muslim, so you've got any better rights than them. In the use of the plane, both got equal facilities. Then again, you want to perform namaz, then see that it's short as possible. Sometimes you're blocking the corridor, the passages, right? Common facility areas, you are blocking it, right? So the right thing is do it short, finish it up, and get out there. Just do your faraz, 2 rakats or 3 rakats, and then come out, right? Unless now there's absolutely nobody there. No crowd, nobody, and you don't expect anybody to come. You don't expect anybody else to come to perform namaz there. If it is that you are expecting someone else, then it's a facility for all. So you do your namaz short and get out. So the next person, your brother also, he can use that facility. Now you're in Rinti Lagas. Ramzan time, you're in Tarawih there. So kya hoga? Juma, you're in Islam Sajda. So what will happen? So these are all common sense. But now, ghar ki akal ko istimal kare, to phir iska kya ilaj? So, one is this type of excesses in matters pertaining to taharat, right? So, there is a lot of room, right? A lot of room. The Sahaba Kiram say that Kanatil Kilabu Tamurru bil Masjid وَتَبُولُ فِيهَا right. تُقْبِلُ وَتُدْبِرُ وَتَبُولُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ Sometimes in an off time, you know. So you find a dog also crossing the masjid, sometimes it's urinating. And one of the ways for a ground to become park, right? See, there's different ways to purify, right? So one of the ways that are recommended for the ground's purities, it dries up. Zakatul ardi yubsuha, right? So the earth now, it's ground, right? Or it's a flat surface. It's not porous, right? It's not something like a carpet, right? So one of the ways to get the thing pure is letting it dry. It's dried and it's bark. Now, you don't have to stress beyond that. Okay, now, A, that place was the place where you made the urine, right? Don't stress beyond that. So the ground can be different kinds. One is where it's a little bit of a slopy area, right? And there was fresh urine, right? But you can see it's like an incline. So you just pour water, and the water flows out, it becomes park class. End of the story. Right. The other is that the ground is a thirsty ground, like your Spinger Beach ground, because you're on the shore, right? So the ground is going to be very thirsty. So as you pour the water is just soaked into the earth, right? So that's also a way of parking. That is like, you know, you're squeezing the cloth, right? When you're squeezing the cloth, so the earth is, so the top layer is squeezing the filth and the impurities into the lower ground. So that's another way to purify it. The other is, it's a hard surface. It's a hard surface. And also it's, besides hard, it's plain. It's plain and hard. So now, if you need the place straight away, then what do you do? So, two ways have been recommended, right? One is, if it's hard, you know, it's natural hard ground. So, you can dig the top surface, and the bottom surface will become automatically park. So, the top surface you dug, and as you dug the top surface, the bottom automatically becomes park. Where there's a hadith about a person urinating, and then there are different verses. One is hafr, one was it was dug, one was it was water that was poured over it. So the reason was that perhaps it was namaz time, right? And the person just urinated, people are going to use that place. So won't they perceive that smell of the urine? Namaz time, and people need that space, right, for namaz, right? So now, if they're going to make sajda, they're going to perceive the smell. So now, just take the place, pour some water, so the smell is gone, and the place is like normal, see? There's also a problem in this day. People just find one hadith, and then want to generalize. So, in the matters of purity, there is a lot of ease. Ulama are overlooking a lot of things. They say now, for example, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ مَنَامِهِ فَلَا يَغْمِسَنَّ يَدَهُ فِي الْمَا حَتَّى يَغْسِلَهَا ثَلَاثًا. So you got up, so don't immerse your hands into the water until you wash your hand thrice. Right? Because فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُهُ. Because you don't know what the hand was doing at night, right? Where it went, where it didn't go, right? So it can go to the private area, right? It can go, right? And you know, when you're sleeping, some of the shura, they say it in a bit of a, in a very casual way, right? Casual, a bit of a amusing way, you know? So they say, person is relaxing now, and his thing is qa'imul layl, you know. So now, when it's qa'imul layl, then perhaps something may come out of it. You know, it's qa'im, so something may come out. And when something will come out, and your hand passed there, then your hand has passed over some najis. Some say that. Some say that. The second one I've experienced it, right? So, if it's hot, right? You're sleeping in a hot place, very hot, right? So you'll find that the perspiration is rolling down from your spine. And it can go right into the private area. And the private area, there may be some little bit of residue. You know? So that I saw, sleeping, but you got that perspiration just rolls down. So when it rolls down, and your hand is moving around, your hand moves around, so your hand went in that area. And now you're going to use the same hand and immerse it into the water. Then what's going to happen? So this is another. First wash your hands, and then you immerse it into that water. So, Adama Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi, when he went to Medina Munawwara, he also obtained ijazat of reporting hadith from Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullahi. He had already moved away to Medina Munawwara and made hijrat to Medina Munawwara. And so his sanad was very high. Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib's sanad was very high. So he got the ijazat from him as well. So Mahasan Puri asked him, if this is the basis for washing the hands, right, that there is a possibility of some impurity getting into your hands, then the possibility of the impurity touching your clothes is even greater. Then shouldn't you be washing all your clothes, because the clothes is in direct contact? So what's the answer, Ismail? So Shah Abdul Harisab's answer was too beautiful. It says, Taharatul Ma'i Awkad. Right? Washing and seeing to it that the seeing to the purity of the water is much more emphasized. Right? Ensuring that the water is pure is more emphasized. Now understand the context. So in the day of the Sahaba Ikram, they didn't have this communal water. The water that they were using was in tubs, right? Big tubs. So now, say for example, you immersed your hand, right, into that water, right? So that all that water got contaminated, right? Right. Thereafter, for whatever you're going to be using the water for, it will be contaminated water. You making wuzu, he's making wuzu, right? He's making wuzu, right? The same water you're going to be using for drinking, cooking, etc., right? someone needs a faraz ghusl, the same water they're going to be using. Someone wants to cool off, so he's just sprinkling water over himself, they'll use. Someone wants to wash his clothes, they'll use the same water. So there's more emphasis on maintaining the purity of the water, right, so that the impurity doesn't spread all over. Right? And the clothes was overlooked. See, the clothes was overlooked. Now, why was the clothes overlooked? Because that will require that every time you sleep, you must wash all your clothes and then you carry on. You must wash all your clothes again. For the underwear, wash that, wash your trousers, wash your kurta, everything. So there is going to be a problem. It's going to be haraj in that problem. So that was overlooked. And this, where the water gets contaminated, that is applicable to the hands, not to the clothing. This is taharatul ma'i awkadu. So you get this cases in this ummat that they are over particular about the usage of the water. So they begin istinja also, they need 5 liters of water, 10 liters of water. You don't need all the istinja. Do it nicely. Wash yourself. There's no traces. Finish. End of the story. Don't overdo it. As it is, a lot of places you got water crisis. And then you're going to be overusing water. You have to be considerate. I tell the people that in this crisis, when it's this crisis, you can see it. So you left the toilet, but leave the jug filled up. Leave the jug filled up. Because you can't see when there's going to be a water cut. Now, when you left the jug filled, someone was desperate to go to the toilet. He went. And see, for example, the jug wasn't full. Now, what's he going to do? See? But now, you must consider it. All right, I use the toilet, and let me keep the jug filled. So, if someone has to come in, and just then there's a water cut, he's not stranded. See? So, now, all these things are all simple things, straight, clear things. The same, you using a toilet facility that is used by several people, right? So must be considered, right? You get, you know, dunya, you get all type of diversities, all strange, unique type of. The only place they got to read newspaper and comics is the toilet. So they're parking there. Right? Now the next person has to use the toilet. Someone says that everything comes out, only it comes out when you have two, three cigarettes. So now, the next person now, he doesn't feel comfortable with all that. He doesn't feel comfortable. You want to do that outside. Just now, your wife may need a toilet, your child may need a toilet, someone else may need a toilet. Now you're parking there, and you an elder, so they don't have the courage to even knock the toilet door. So, but aren't you creating a problem? So do that elsewhere and then use the toilet. So all this. As you are in an istima, so don't sit on the seat and then do your miswak. So before you can get onto the seat, do your miswak nicely, and as you get onto the seat, you just do the wuzu and you at your work. So you are a blessing for everybody. You are a blessing for everybody, rahat, right? Now it is that you are gargling your mouth, right? So obviously, you're gargling your mouth with some mucus, etc. So if it is an odd time, and you are spitting out the mucus, bulgum, etc., then see to that the water washes it away. Now you just left that spat there in the sink, and you went away. So the next person feels nauseated. Doesn't feel nauseated. So now, we should be doing these things, and teach the children also, that they become a blessing for other people. Like you want to see this first, right? Then the same happens to others as well. These are called social etiquettes. And the Thani Savram, they are very, very particular about social etiquette. Because he felt that people feel that the social etiquette is not part of deen. Whereas there's so much of emphasis on social etiquettes. Social etiquette, how you behave. So if he's getting up at night, right? Tahajjud, etc. Qama Rubaida. Watawadda Rubaida. Got up very softly, very gently. Did whatever he needed to bed very, very gently. Right? So nobody sleeping is disturbed. It's social etiquette. See? Nobody's. So the Miqdad, Muslim Sharif Riwayat. So the Miqdad, he says, so we came as a delegation. So when after the 40th or so, 40th, 50th of Islam, then delegations began to pour into Medina. So what was the reason for these delegations to come? Because a tribe after another tribe is accepting Islam. 5th to the 6th year after the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, so there's peace that is prevailing in the terrain. So when peace, so that allows for free movement, because it's peace. We have signed on, you have signed on, so there's not going to be any type of terror in the terrain. So now they want to see firsthand what Islam is. So they come, 20 people, 30 people, and now they need to be housed. So Rasulullah will offer to keep some people, and other Sahaba Ikram will offer to keep some people. So Miqdad says, I was in the residence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu excused himself. He says, see, he may come late, right? So you all enjoy yourselves. So what you all have, whatever is there, and you see the goats have milked them, and enjoy yourself. And leave something for me. So when I come back, then I'll have whatever is left over. So as arranged now, they had the share. Miqdad found the milk to be too enjoyable. So he left something for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, when he sleeps, a little bit more. It never stopped. Khatam ho gaya. He said, hey, now I had it. I was supposed to leave something for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I finished the whole thing up. Now I had it. Kya hoga? Khuda ki maar aa jayegi. So anyway, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi explained them, it came a little bit with a delay. And so if he comes with a delay, makes a very gentle salam. So if someone is awake, he'll reply and he'll get the sound of the salam. And if someone is asleep, his sleep is not disturbed at all. Right? So there'll be some perform some namaz, and now there's no milk there, see. So, all he did was, he made dua, Allahumma at'im or asqi man saqani. Allah Ta'ala feed or give drink to the person who gives me. So, Miqdad says, I knew now, there's something happening. So, I knew now, I'd milk that animal dry. Now the reason made dua, what? Who gives me drink, grant him drink. So now that means that the udder will be full. That's what it means, right? But give that person who gives me. So there must be something, right, to give to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So as I went, and I went to the udder, and it was really full. I presented it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She says, now because of what had happened, I couldn't hold my laughter. It happened now. But Nabi Sam took it very smooth, nicely. Oh, upset, and you know, I'm in the view of Allah Ta'ala, and I must go hungry, starve the night. You're a guest, and you got no consideration for your host. But you see the social etiquettes, what to do, how to live amongst people individually, in a public area, in a private area, but how you're supposed to be conducting yourself. So it's unfortunate that we don't apply these things. Or if we're applying it, we don't teach the children. See the ayat of the Quran, Ghashiyah, right? Surah Ghashiyah. وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعٌ. So the drinking utensils will be placed. So they'll have a designated spot to keep these things. Even in gender, but وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعٌ. Akwab is the plural of kub. And cup comes from the word kub. Is it? Okay, I guess like that. وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعٌ. But the Mufassirin say that Allah Pak is teaching us social etiquette here. There are some utensils for common use, right? The utensils that are for common use, leave them at the designated areas. Why it's meant for common use, right? Now it's a jug, for example, and you may have just one or two jugs. So now you move it from its place, next person coming, there's some problem. A glass or a cup now, or designated spots, right? So keep it at the designated spots. Now you see now sometimes youngsters are lazy, right? So they sipping coffee late at night, and they just leave the cup and saucer at the bedside. And then now they expect the worker to come and do that. If it's a long weekend, then it just remains there. But what an unsightly sight. So leave it in the designated spot. You drank it very well. Now, if there are arrangements for it to be washed, right, then you don't have to wash it. Leave it near the sink so that whoever is in charge of washing it will wash it. There's nobody there. Like there's a long weekend, but they're gone for holidays, whatever, right? Then you take the trouble to wash the thing. Because you needed it, it was nice and clean. So it may be your brother or your mother or your sister may need the same thing. So they find it also clean and usable. But you only think about yourself, and you don't think about the next user. So see the social etiquette from the Quran. وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعٌ. So anything that is in common use. So therefore, Abdullah ibn Umar reports hadith, نَهَا عَنِ الْقِيرَانِ. Qiran, right? There will be some discouraged Qiran. So what is Qiran? Qiran is now, say, there's a tray of sweets, right? Right? So don't take two. Just take one. So say, for example, the tray has got Tex chocolate, right? And you took three. And there's five guests there. And there's only four Tex chocolates. Is that the right thing? Let's take one. Because there's other people also. And as guests, all will have equal rights. When all have equal rights, you understand, I have a right to enjoy, and my friends also have a right to enjoy. So I must take fairly, right? I used to see this when I was small, you know. Chutamata Marhum was my father's friend. So he'll come home quite often, right? Sometimes he'll come, his children also will come sometimes. But I should notice that the day he came, there was something special prepared, chops or whatever, right? So when there's a chop or something, the tradition in the house will be, you'll have one good dish, and one simple dish. There will be one good dish and one simple dish. So what you would do is, the chop will just have one piece, although the plate will be loaded, right? But you have just one, and he'll fill the plate with the simple dish. Maag or masoor, whatever, right? So that he's showing consideration for the rest of the people seated there. Right? But isn't that consideration, respect, consideration? I saw this when I was small, and Shuram used to be frequenting the house. But observe now, see, one of the special and load the plate with the simple mug, masoor, or burji, whatever. So now everybody feels comfortable. I also can enjoy, he can enjoy, that person can enjoy. See, now that is a person thinking right. But now the person is normal. They must make ikram for me. You know, I'm the guest here. So they must all make ikram for me. So he took four pieces. So now, does he leave a good feeling on the dastarkhan? You know? It leaves an unpleasant feeling. They can't voice themselves. But is that a respectable thing? See? But the Mu'tazim is showing now, see this social etiquette. And how important they are. When you practice these social etiquettes, then people want to take mehman. They know they are respectable people, they know how to conduct themselves, and then it will be a pleasure to keep them. But now you don't know how to conduct yourself, now you have eaten, right? You have eaten, so this one I learned also when I was small. We just came to Spinger Beach, right? 1960s we came, right? I must have been about 10, 11 years of age, somewhere near there, when we came here. So there was an Obi Chacha. You know, in the top masjid, that was Abu Suleiman. Abu Suleiman's father, Rahmatullah Ali. Obi Chacha. So now, Spinger Beach was just growing at that time. Muslims were just coming in. So the older people, they felt, we should be bonding people. And how we can bond people is have some dawats. Call all the musallis, have some samosa, ice cream, this and all that. So you'll bond the Muslims. The spirit was down, was good. Next door, that there was Haji Ahmad, Duma, his father, Suleiman. So every now and then, he'll make some alim, and he'll have that homemade bread, you know, bread that made in the oven. And they look for Muslim homes, and they'll take something. So, as though he's passing a message that we are around and we are together. If you want anything, any concern, let us know. So that was the atmosphere. See, in the town, amongst the people, so these sentiments understand. And there are other people, and what are you supposed to be doing, and what you aren't supposed to be doing. So he was talking about that. The hadith after the top masjid. Right? Abi Aji Ovish, right? So now, he saw our style is, we eat, and then we sit and talk. He says, no, this is not right. He's an old man, so he could say it. An old person, he can be vociferous, he'll say it openly. Youngsters will be a little difficult, but now old, they pass that stage now, they say it. Say it, it's not the right thing. Once you've eaten, either we move away, right? So that the people of the house, they are relaxed and comfortable, they can do the other work. But at least we can do is, they use the utensils, pass it back to the kitchen. Because the ladies are waiting to clean up. Now, you know, have your discussions, all that, it may take another 1 hour. So they will be held in suspense. They're waiting now for all the utensils to come back to the kitchen and to clean up. Right? So it's just waiting. You see. So they will be reluctant to take this in the future. But you have that consideration, finished up, either you move away. And if you have to sit down to discuss something, then at least the dastarkhan, the utensils, all just pass that to the kitchen. They can finish the work, they can clean up, and they can rest. And you can come at your time after your discussions, etc. But you see all this social etiquette and how important they are to generate muhabbat, understanding, ease. The Quran Sharif also spoke about it. غَيْرَ نَازِرِينَ إِنَا. What? غَيْرَ نَازِرِينَ إِنَا. So, if there's a da'wat, then don't go long in advance of the da'wat. See, the da'wat is now at, say, 1 o'clock. And you're coming in there at what, 11 o'clock. So don't do that. Long in advance of the da'wat, don't do that. Because the host now, one is has to arrange for the meals. And number two, you are around, so he has to see to your well-being and your comfort. Right? So he finds it difficult. Say, hey, I asked you to come at 12 o'clock, why are you coming at 11 o'clock? Can he say that? It's difficult for him to say that. So, غَيْرَ نَازِرِينَ إِنَا, not at a time that you're still waiting for it to be prepared. So he'll be phoning, Manjaraz, you're coming on schedule, and there's, you know, there's an accident on the road, so there may be a half an hour delay. Now, it creates problem for everybody. So you just came, say, 3-4 minutes before the time, it's alright. 5 minutes, say 7 minutes before the time, it's understandable. But you come so early now, that host is in a quandary now. Must he attend to you, or must see that he must see to the food? What must he do? لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم غير الناظرين إلى ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا وإذا طعمتم فانتشروا. Eat now, disperse. Finish. So that host also feels so nice. It's such a nice thing to have a da'wah. They'll come, they'll eat. It's just half an hour job, and they'll disperse. But now, when you cause these things here, then you make it difficult. See the social etiquette. Again, our ulama explained. Now, you're sitting at the dasturkhan. At the dasturkhan now, don't ask him, is this halal? Was it a stunned chicken? Lucky's chicken or better's chicken, what it was. There was not the time to do all that. Now you're embarrassing the guest now. That you could have done, if you're not sure of the host, you could have done it long in advance. But now you're sitting at his house on the table, and you ask him, hey, this chicken, where you got it? Was it stunned? Is it halal? Is that the time to ask? But you see this unscrupulous behavior. No, he may think that everybody thinks he's a very good muttaqi, you know, very pious person. But he doesn't know that he's overlooked the social etiquette. Allah Baktufi Nisipalaam.